You will see that we have our scripture readings in your bulletin insert. And if you take that and just pull that out, we're going to be dealing with each one of these passages. And each one of these deals with a slightly different piece of the puzzle that has to do with different sets of rules. And according to Jesus, which ones matter more, which ones matter less, what rules do you honor, and depending on what circumstances, what rules do you and can you break, and when, and why? And just before we get to that, on a kind of a little minor and a little humorous note, you know, we all know one of the things that Ron and I were talking about, with the selection of this was one of the Ten Commandments is, you know, thou shalt not lie. So always tell the truth. But, you know, where he was wondering, it's like, can you be too honest? Are there times when you can be too honest? Like if it ends up hurting the person you love, like if I were to ask you, do these pants make me look fat? Then you may want to say, no, it's that 3 pounds of chocolate that you ate make you look fat. But one of the things that we learn is really, you know, what's being asked? What truth is being asked? And which truth do we address? Truth of, do I look good in your eyes or data? What's the right rule for the right situation? So this morning we're talking about breaking the rules. And if you look at your scripture passages, you can see in the first passage is from the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to read that together in a moment. But in this passage, Jesus goes head to head with the Pharisees about which rules apply and when and under what conditions. And specifically, he's dealing with something that probably seems pretty insignificant, talking about the Sabbath, you know, taking a day off. But as we'll see, the way that Jesus deals with this creates an ethical ladder and an ethical structure of how to deal with conflicting priorities and values. And he, through this, he actually sets up a system that helps each one of us figure out when it comes to ethical dilemmas, which we all have, we all face, what's the most important thing? In the midst of all the whole sea of conflicting opinions and emotions coming at us, how do we figure out what's most important? So far beyond Sabbath rules, Jesus creates this model, helping each one of us to figure out what's the right thing to do. Now, as one of my seminary professors said, like 35 years ago, he said, you know, it's not the easy decisions in our lives aren't the things that cause us ethical dilemmas, you know, choosing between what's, you know, clearly good and bad, what's clearly right and wrong. That doesn't set up a dilemma. It's the gray areas that we all get mixed up in between two options, neither which are particularly good or right. That can occur with political choices. It comes into play when we're trying to figure out how to deal with things like opioid drugs, where they do some help, which is why they're created, but they can also do some harm. And how do you navigate that one? It comes into play with gun control, with there's personal freedoms, there's public safety, prison sentences, rehabilitation. What's the right thing to do with people who do bad things? Refugees, how many do you let in? Under what condition? Who pays? How do you decide? What's right? And according to whom? And on what basis? So in the first passage, Jesus goes head to head with the Pharisees over rules, over what is right and wrong, in what circumstances, and who says. And with this, let's take this passage and we'll read this together. Okay. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And the Pharisees watched Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But the Pharisees were silent. So Jesus looked around at them with anger, and he was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And may God bless our understanding and our living of this word of abundant life. Amen. So the Pharisees that we hear about were keepers of the rules. They were the watchdogs, or the protectors, depending on which way you want to see it, of the Jewish faith. And the Jewish faith, as we may know, is built upon keeping the law, following the rules. It's understood that the Jewish law is the faith. No law, no faith. In fact, there is the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament. Anybody know what that's called? The Pentateuch, or the, begins with a T. This is the children's sermon time since we didn't have one today. The Torah. The Torah. And Torah means, it's translated, means the law. So that is the law. So they're not just arbitrary rules created by human beings, but the law is understood to be created by God. And that's why millions of devout people voluntarily commit to following those rules, and some to a T, and literally. These laws say things like, you know, don't lie, which you talked about, don't cheat, don't steal, don't covet, honor the Sabbath. There's other laws and rules. Don't eat shellfish or pork. The list goes on. It includes rules about how to dress, how to wear your hair. We've seen, you know, you see the ultra-Orthodox on the street and the Hasidic Jews, and there are the men wearing the hats, and they have the ringlets, and those are things that are specified in the Bible about, you know, put this on your head and don't cut your hair and leave them in ringlets and so forth, and yarmulkes. And there are certain people who rigorously adhere to also Sabbath laws, not just kind of taking a day off and not working, but it gets very specific. Don't even turn on a light switch. That's work. Don't push an elevator button. There are special Sabbath refrigerators that we actually found out when we bought a refrigerator. And we're reading through the instructions, and it says how you can pre-program it so that when you open the door, the light doesn't go on, because turning on a light, even, you know, that way, is considered work on the Sabbath. So it may seem like a lot, but really all of this is to say that this is the level of very strict adherence and understanding to the letter of the law and following the rules, into which Jesus, who was a Jew, and he was born that way, he was raised that way, and in his mind, he never strayed from that. That was what he was born to. And this is why he said, "I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them." And with this understanding in his mind, he never departed from this. Because in his understanding, he never departed from honoring God's will. So what appeared to other people around him as breaking the rules and having a complete disregard for the Jewish law, his understanding is, as he explains, he says, "You have heard it this way, but I say to you," what he's saying is, you have through time, because it was given orally, have it was misheard and misunderstood through generations. He's not saying God got it wrong, and he's not saying I'm presenting to you a new God with new sets of rules. He's saying this is the clear understanding the way he is revealing it. This is the clear understanding of what God originally intent and what we should be doing. This is what we call Christianity. He not only does that and kind of giving us a set of rules, but he does this in a beautiful way through stories, through parables, through examples. And not only saying this is what you should do, but he beautifully goes on to really outline in tremendous detail through his life, this is why, giving us a rationale, saying, you know, this is what happens, you know, to you if you don't, and this is what happens to you if you do, in a very, very loving way. So, in his honoring of the law, his message was, I'm here to help you understand and follow God's will. And it's not just about the rules, but again, it's about the benefits. Do this, and what do you experience? Goes on to talk, he talks about the kingdom of God a lot. You experience bliss. You experience joy. You experience inner ease and peace and comfort and love. Do this, and you build relationships. You build closeness. And then he says, and if you don't do this, then what happens is there's all sorts of, you know, chaos and broken relationships and hard feelings and inner angst and strife that occurs. And so what he's doing is he's shifting things where he's saying, you know, he's saying, you know, it's not about being righteous, following the rules. It's about being loving. Zealots are righteous. Zealots are rule followers. And zealots, as we know, can find ways in following their rules that rationalize and are justified in hurting people. Jesus said, no. God doesn't want us to be righteous, rule followers, zealous. God wants us to be first and foremost loving. And we see in our world tons of examples of rule-following zealots who righteously justify hurting others by following their rules. And there can be zealot politicians. There can be zealot Christians. There can be zealot Jews. There can be zealot Muslims. There can be zealot teachers. And I had a few. Who, as we know, those zealot teachers who are more interested in the rules than they are the human being student. There are zealot lawyers. There are zealot priests. And there are zealot insurance people. Sorry, I used to work in the insurance industry. So. What is it all saying? How do you judge? How do you decide in your life of difficult ethical choices? What's the right thing to do under all circumstances? Is there one rule that overrides and if need be, that breaks all the other rules and supersedes? And there you look at the third passage down. And Jesus says, in everything. That's a pretty big blanket statement. He says, in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up, he says, the law and the prophets. Follow this path and you will be the happiest, most free, most open, most loving, most relational, least anxious, have the most peace, least angst that you can possibly experience. And through his life, he points out a zillion examples. This one rule, as we know, is so simple to say. I talk to people all the time who go, I don't need to go to church. I know what it's about. Be loving. Right? It's like, you know, saying, hey, I know what golf's about. You just hit a hole in one. Easy to say. Incredibly difficult to do on a moment-by-moment, decision-by-decision basis. Ethical dilemma? Simple but not easy. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. And that is compassion. That is sensitivity. And it's not the way of saying, you know, what do I do with a homeless person? Well, that's easy. If I were homeless, I would create a business and I would invest my money and I would and I would contact all my friends and my networks. No. In their shoes. Their situation, their IQ, their life experience, their political scene. It's the opposite of being self-centered. It's the opposite of greed in everything. You name it. Sabbath, sure. Healthcare? Refugees? Capital punishment? Imprisonment, forgiveness, or condemnation? How do you vote? How much should I give? What rule do I follow to guide all of my decisions? And what rule or desires or inner thought patterns, those are rules, are subservient? When you ask, what should I do? Do I go by the economic rule of self-interest, protection of my assets, needing to be right in everything? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Their life experience, their life position. How then would you want to be treated if you were in their full condition? Do you think that that is a fair assessment of what Jesus is saying to you? Thank you, God, for putting my feet to the fire, because I know that that is love. Amen.
Our God of the sun and the rain, and shifting seasons, both outside of our lives and within our lives, Lord of vibrant blessings and sorrows, big and small, we thank you for the season of obvious blessing that your presence brings, for the seasons of searching, for the seasons that call us closer to your love. We come with all of these quiet and not so quiet things on our hearts and minds, and rumblings. With our whole selves, make us present to your spirit. And so often, God, we ask for perfection. And we ask with hopeful intention. We ask with hope for you to be with us and those who we care for. And in pouring out our spirits to you, we bring ourselves to your ever-present light, to your strength, to your courage. And we receive your courage both through your spirit and through the hearts and hands and kindness of one another. All of this is your presence and light, God. May we not only receive it, but may we be a joyful part of it. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us. And in those moments when we ask, are you with us? May we also ask, are we with you? When we ask, are you here? May we also ask, are we here? Are we listening? Are we saying yes to your opportunities to be your loving presence in this world? God of the sun and the rain and changing seasons, allow us to feel your embrace, to be your embrace. In the name of the one who calls us to perfect love, amen.